That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
On April 13th and 14th, Project Healing Waters will be holding its fifth annual Sundial Challenge. Project Healing Waters Fly Fishing is dedicated to the physical and emotional rehabilitation of disabled active military personnel and disabled veterans through fly fishing and associated activities. There are several sponsorship packages available for those wishing to support our disabled vet. If you can help or have questions, please contact John Boyden at 530-722-0798.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. It's a terrible, terrible day. Obviously, top of the news, this horrifying anti-Islamic terrorist attack in Christchurch by a white supremacist. Just awful in every way. If you didn't lose sleep last night, it's because you weren't following the story closely. If you don't feel sick to your stomach after reading the coverage of all of this, after reading about the evil of the participants in this, then legitimately, you're not paying close enough attention to the story. It is utterly horrifying in every conceivable way. New York Times reporting 49 people were killed. 49 people were killed in shootings at two mosques in central Christchurch, New Zealand, on Friday in a terrorist attack the Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern described as extraordinary and unprecedented act of violence. Obviously, this was a white supremacist terror attack that was driven at Islamic centers. Officials said one man in his late 20s had been charged with murder, that two explosive devices were found attached to a vehicle that they had stopped. A Muslim leader in New Zealand said the attack was especially shocking. It took place around Friday prayer, so it was coordinated to be when the mosques were most full. A gunman streamed a live video of the attack on Facebook. He appeared to have posted a manifesto online. What these folks want, what evil terrorists want, is attention. That's why they commit terrorist attacks. That's why this guy live streamed a video of his attack on Facebook. And it shows you that in our too connected world, we've got a real problem. Because if you are seeking fame, if you are seeking notoriety, then all you have to do is commit an act of evil with a camera in your hand. And we've seen this over and over and over again now. Stop watching the videos. Delete the videos. Suck the air out of the room. Do not provide the imp for future people, future monsters, monstrous evil people to do stuff like this. It's horrific. When that bleeds over into the real world, where performance becomes violence, and where people are performing acts of vile cruelty and evil in order to receive the cheers of others, we have to wonder whether our connected universe is a little bit too connected. Because the truth is, it's not real connection. Real connection is the connection that we forge with each other when we are offline. How many of your best friends are people that you meet online and never meet in person? How many of the people that you actually connect with are people that you are just talking to in a chat room or on a Reddit board? The answer is probably not many. Most of the deep connections in your life are the people who you meet. And because we don't spend enough time out in the world being with other people, it allows us to other people. It allows us to treat other people as though they are foreign to us, as though they are monsters, as though they are to be clubbed or destroyed in some way. And that's terrible. It really is. Because the reality is, when we treat each other face-to-face, when we see each other face-to-face, it is exorbitantly rare in good societies, in decent societies, that we treat each other badly when we treat each other face-to-face. And that's why something like this is so shocking, when the sort of vile underbelly of the internet brews up into the real world and ends with deadly consequences. It really is. And that's not a call for censorship. It's a call for human beings to be better. It's a call for all of us to try harder. It's a call for everyone to get offline and start interacting with people with whom they may not agree and who they may not know. The Prime Minister of New Zealand had a few words to say about this. Here's what she had to say.
It is clear that this is one of New Zealand's darkest days. Clearly, what has happened here is an extraordinary and unprecedented act of violence. Many of those who will have been directly affected by this shooting may be migrants to New Zealand. They may even be refugees here. They have chosen to make New Zealand their home, and it is their home. They are us. The person who has perpetuated this violence against us is not. They have no place in New Zealand. There is no place in New Zealand for such acts of extreme and unprecedented violence, which is, it is clear this act was. For now, my thoughts, and I'm sure the thoughts of all New Zealanders, are with those who have been affected and also with their families. My thoughts also to those in Christchurch who are still dealing with an unfolding situation.
Now, we'll treat the media response to all of this in just a second after we bring you the information, because the media response has been, in many cases, irresponsible, over the top, attempting to cast blame as a first resort, attempting to politicize this stuff. Politicians, particularly one particularly foolish politician who's gotten an inordinate amount of attention, tweeting out ridiculous things. First, let me give you the rest of the information. Shots were fired at Al Noor Mosque on Dean's Avenue in the center of the city and at Linwood Mosque, about 3 miles away, the police said. The country's police commissioner, Mike Bush, said in an evening news conference that 41 people had been killed at Al Noor Mosque and 7 at Linwood Mosque. Another victim had died at Christchurch Hospital. David Meets, the chief executive of the Canterbury District Health Board, said that 48 people, including young children, were being treated for injuries at the hospital. He said the injuries included gunshot wounds and ranged from critical to minor. The International Committee of the Red Cross created a page for reporting the names of people who are missing or accounted for. The police said that 4 people, including 3 men and 1 woman, had been taken into custody. Prime Minister Scott Morrison of Australia said that one of them was Australian. Mr. Bush said that a man in his late 20s had been charged with murder and would appear in Christchurch Court on Saturday morning. A number of firearms were recovered from the scenes of the shootings, he said. By the way, written on the firearms were the names of other mass murderers who had particularly targeted mosques. Of the 3 others who were detained, the police commissioner said that one might have had nothing to do with the attack, and the police were working to determine how the other 2 might have been involved. None of those detained were on security watch lists. 2 explosive devices were found on one vehicle, Mr. Bush said, adding that the police had defused one and were in the process of defusing the other. Mr. Bush had urged people not to go to mosques anywhere in New Zealand on Friday. He also urged mosques nationally to close your doors until you hear from us again, which is just horrifying. Shutting down religious institutions because evil people are attempting to kill people at religious institutions is just insane. Yashar Ali, who is an Iranian-born reporter in the United States, he tweeted out that it takes an amount of bravery for people to identify publicly as religious. And that's true for people who choose to wear hijab. It's true of people who choose to wear side locks if you're Jewish or yarmulkes. It's true for a wide variety of people. That's not bravery. That's just how people live. That's how people live. It's a choice that they've made. And when I see somebody who's chosen to wear a hijab, I mean, it's one of the reasons I was in favor of the Congress changing its rules to allow Ilhan Omar, who I think is terrible for a lot of other reasons. But for this, I think that it's great. Congress changing its rules to allow Ilhan Omar to cover her head on the floor of the Congress if she chooses to do so. That's a wonderful thing, because when you see other people who are attempting to reach out to something larger to them than themselves, people who are attempting to recognize that they are subject to a morality above themselves, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And for people to despise that and try and murder people because of that is such an act of tremendous, tremendous evil. There's a 17-minute video posted to Facebook showing part of the attack. Facebook didn't see it in time, so they didn't take it down in time. The clip, which may have been taken from a helmet camera worn by a gunman, begins behind the wheel of a car. The man, whose face can occasionally be seen in the rearview mirror, drives through the streets of Christchurch before pulling up to the Al Noor Mosque beside the sprawling Hagley Park. He approaches the mosque on foot, his weapon visible, and begins shooting at people at the entrance. What follows is a harrowing nearly 2 minutes of his firing on worshippers. At one point, the gunman exits the mosque and fires in both directions down the sidewalk before returning to his car for another gun, which, like the others, was inscribed with numbers, symbols, or messages. When he re-enters the mosque, he shoots at several bodies at close range. The video is absolutely horrendous. People should absolutely not watch it or give it coverage. He also posted a white nationalist manifesto on Twitter and 8chan, and people have, of course, been perusing this to see if they can cast aspersions at American political figures. The 8chan post included a link to the gunman's Facebook page, where he said he would broadcast the live video of the attack. In the middle of this evil video, Felix Kjellberg, who is PewDiePie, a YouTube celebrity, I've been on his meme review, he distanced himself from the attacks because he's not responsible for the attacks. And here's where the media start to lose it. The media start suggesting that because Kjellberg was mentioned by this guy, somehow he is responsible for the attacks. No, there is a sick online meme world where people make references to other people who are online in order to gain attention or in order to polarize. People who don't understand anything about meme world take everything that the folks who are doing in these chat rooms, these threads, they take all of that seriously. Okay, that is not correct. Not only should all of it not be taken seriously, some of it is directly an attempt to generate headlines. Some of it is directly an attempt to implicate people who are not responsible for things. You've seen Candace Owens' name mentioned in this person's manifesto. Candace Owens has nothing to do with this guy, and it's actually pretty obvious from the manifesto itself that he is naming Candace Owens specifically to cause political rifts. The one thing that is clear from this white nationalist manifesto that this piece of human wrote, the one thing that is absolutely clear from that is that he wanted to drive political division. He was seeking to drive political division in the West that would break down along racial lines. And then he could claim that he had started a race war. That was his intent in all of this. And anybody who's perpetuating that is helping him do his work. You know, that's what he wanted. We'll get to more of this in just a second. First, getting life insurance can feel like assembling the world's worst jigsaw puzzle. It's confusing. It takes forever. And when you're finally done, it doesn't even look cool. But if you have a mortgage, kids, or anyone who depends on your income, it's a puzzle you do need to solve. And Policy Genius can help you do it. Policy Genius is the easy way to get life insurance. In just 2 minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers and find the best policy for you. When you apply online, the advisors at Policy Genius will handle all the red tape. They'll even negotiate your rate with the insurance company. No commission sales agents, no hidden fees, just helpful advice and personalized service. Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy. They also make it easy to find the right home insurance, auto insurance, disability insurance. They're your one-stop shop for financial protection. So if you find life insurance puzzling, head on over to PolicyGenius.com. In 2 minutes, you can compare quotes, find the right policy, and save up to 40% doing it. Policy Genius, the easy way to compare and buy life insurance. If you're a responsible person, if you're an adult, you need to make sure that your family is taken care of in case, God forbid, something should happen to you. This is where Policy Genius comes in, and they don't just do life insurance. Again, they do home insurance, auto insurance, disability insurance. Check them out right now at PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com. All righty, so back to this horrendous story. So people have been trying to figure out how exactly they curb social media, what to do about social media. That really is probably not the answer other than actual attempts to create violence. I've said for a long time, you don't get to attribute violence to people unless they are openly calling for violence. If they are openly calling for violence, that's a violation of the First Amendment, and those posts should not be available anywhere. The fact that Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, the fact that they've been looking to take down political posts they don't like, as opposed to targeting actual posts that inflame violence, that are directly attempting to inflame violence, is a blot on the record of these tech companies. The 17-minute video apparently could be found on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram more than an hour after being posted. In order to evade detection, people were cropping the video or posting the text as manifesto of the manifesto as an image, both of which are techniques used to evade automated systems that find and delete the content. Facebook has already invested enormous amounts of resources. They can't be perfect here, of course, and especially when it comes from an account that they weren't actively following. Still, the tech companies need to focus a little more, if they can, on cracking down on incipient violence and a little bit less on the politics that they particularly do not like. Now to the politics of the situation. We'll get to more of that in just a second. But first, when it comes to costly car repairs, you do need options. Instead, you're often stuck bargain hunting for the best deal because who can afford to fork over $1,000 for a repair? You cannot put a price on your family's safety and security on the road, which is why members of my family have extended vehicle protection from CarShield. CarShield makes the process of fixing your car for a covered repair incredibly easy. You can have your favorite mechanic or dealership do the work. It is indeed your choice. They also provide 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is being fixed for free. If your car has 5,000 to 150,000 miles, that doesn't mean you have to pay high repair bills. CarShield administrators have paid out close to $2 billion in claims. They are ready to help you. Save yourself thousands of bucks in future car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate in extended vehicle protection the same way my family did. Call 800-CAR-6000, mention code Shapiro, or visit carshield.com and use code Shapiro to save 10%. That's carshield.com, code Shapiro, or call 800-CAR-6000. Mention code Shapiro. A deductible may apply. That's 800-CAR-6000 or carshield.com, code Shapiro. Once more, carshield.com, code Shapiro. Coming up, we're going to get into the politics of the shooting. You're already seeing members of the media, politicians, jumping to blame the shooting on people with whom they disagree, which is really quite terrible because everybody of good heart looks at this and says this was evil and the ideology behind it is evil. Yet people are still trying to make political hay out of it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
is the Savage Nation.
EMP expert Dr. William Forstgen. U.S. will cease to exist. 90% of population will die. I don't think that's news to you, right?
Both Korea and Iran have put out videos, which you can find on YouTube, of us being hit by an EMP. The leader of North Korea has openly said, we're going to EMP you. That's it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So when you look at this shooting, everybody of good heart and decency looks at it and says this is an act of evil. The ideology behind it is obviously evil. And yet there are folks who are trying to politicize nonetheless. So there is an article from Al Jazeera in which they point out that the manifesto mentions President Trump. It does not mention that President Trump is specifically denounced for his politics. It is a 74-page dossier hailing Trump as a, quote, symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose. But the quote continues that this person does not believe in Trump's politics and does not believe in his values. And the fact is that you shouldn't be looking at this guy as anything other than an evil white supremacist, because that's the overarching message of what he did. But instead, what we're trying to do is now attribute his actions to others. Now, there are people who have reacted badly on both sides of the political aisle. I hesitate even to label Senator Fraser Anning, a member of the Australian Party, as a right-winger, given this kind of rhetoric. But he tweeted out one of the worst statements I have ever seen. Quote, "Does anyone still dispute the link between Muslim immigration and violence? Are you insane? Are you an insane person? Muslims were just massacred. This is not Muslim immigrants causing violence. This is Muslim immigrants being the victims of violence. What in the absolute hell?" I mean, but this guy has a long record of this sort of thing. The reason people are turning to the rhetoric question is because they can't turn to the gun control question. The reason they can't turn to the gun control question is because New Zealand law is some of the most heavily gun controlled on planet Earth. Murders are rare in New Zealand, reports the New York Times. Gun homicides are even rarer. There were 35 murders countrywide in 2017. Since 2007, gun homicides have been in the single digits every year except 2009, but there are plenty of guns. There were 1.2 million registered firearms in the country of 4.6 million people in 2017, which just goes to show you that high levels of gun ownership don't necessarily mean high levels of gun violence. It depends who owns the gun. New Zealand law allows any person aged 16 or older with an entry-level firearm license to keep any number of common rifles and shotguns. Most guns can be purchased without being tracked by law enforcement officials. With that said, there are still some very heavy gun control regulations in New Zealand. Virtually every person who owns a firearm has to be registered. The media is trying to turn this into a gun control debate, but the fact is that that compared to the United States, their gun control is pretty serious. It's pretty serious. So potential gun owners in New Zealand have to pass a police background check, for example. The gun laws in Australia were tightened following a 1996 mass shooting in which 35 people were killed by a lone gunman in Tasmania. Within 2 weeks, Australian lawmakers banned rapid-fire rifles and shotguns and introduced tighter laws governing ownership of other weapons. New Zealand has some of these laws on the books, and of course they have an incredibly low murder rate. So this is really not about gun control. Nonetheless, what you are seeing from some people is a call for gun control. You're also seeing people trot out their slogans at the wrong time. There's only one problem. This was a massacre carried out at a mosque where people were legitimately praying because they wanted to be in consonance with something higher than themselves. That did not stop Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, very fresh and very face, from tweeting out, quote, "At first I thought of saying, imagine being told your house of faith isn't safe anymore. But I couldn't say imagine because of Charleston, Pittsburgh, Sutherland Springs. What good are your thoughts and prayers when they don't even keep the pews safe?" What the hell does she even mean by that? These were Muslims, religious Muslims, praying to Allah. They were there to pray. They were there to commune with something greater. What good are your thoughts and prayers when they don't even keep the pews safe? This is a fundamental misunderstanding of what religion does. Religion does not suggest that if you pray, you will be safer. Religion suggests that if you pray, you may become better because you are thinking about something greater than yourself. And then she tries to walk this absolute crap back. She says, "This is a time of great vulnerability for our communities. We must come together, fight for each other, and stand up for neighbors. Isolation, dehumanizing stereotypes, hysterical conspiracy theories, and hatred ultimately lead to the anarchy of violence. We cannot stand for it." Fine. Then she says this, "Thoughts and prayers is a reference to the NRA's phrase used to deflect conversation away from policy change during tragedies, not directed to the Prime Minister Ardern, who I greatly admire." Well, no, thoughts and prayers is not an NRA phrase. Thoughts and prayers is a phrase that is used by decent people all around the world for legitimately centuries. To suggest that thoughts and prayers is just a way to shirk responsibility for a gun control debate that you feel like having at this particular time, is the blood's still on the pavement. Just horrifying. And people who are trying to generate false division based on the fact that they don't like Trump, or they don't like guns, or they don't like environmentalism, whoever is trying to turn this into a political thing today, other than condemning the ideology of the terrorist, okay? The ideology of the terrorist is a white supremacist ideology. It is fully evil. It is fully evil to suggest that if a Muslim lives in your neighborhood, that Muslim deserves to die because they are a threat to your white majority. It is sheer, absolute, sick garbage. And anybody who is suggesting today that white supremacism doesn't have victims is, of course, being ignorant of the reality of the modern world. It is just untrue. That sort of stuff should be condemned. The ideology of the killer should be condemned. Now, what is wrong is to extend that ideology to people who do not believe it. So you see some people on the political left doing today, taking that ideology and saying, well, you believe that, don't you? No, typical mainline conservatives do not believe this stuff. I mean, again, this guy's manifesto itself said that he was not a conservative and didn't like conservatism because he felt it hadn't conserved. Okay, the fact is, white supremacy is indeed evil. We should all be front and forward in condemning the tribal politics of race. It's horrifying, and it has impact. We should. I legitimately don't understand why there's division on when this sort of stuff happens. I understand that people want to use flashpoints to push their particular politics. I understand that. But it does nothing but tear apart a civilization that is united on acts of evil like this sort of stuff. In just a second, we're going to get to the National Emergency Declaration by the President of the United States. The Senate tried to shoot it down yesterday in a 59-41 vote. President Trump was not happy. We will discuss whether Republicans should have voted to stop the National Emergency Declaration or not. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Come celebrate St. Paddy's Day this Sunday at Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar, located at 2155 Hilltop Drive. Along with a fine wine selection, Kelly's has 11 different beers on tap. Happy hour prices all day long. Enjoy corned beef and cabbage for just $15. Kelly's is taking dinner reservations at 223-3165. Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar is the place to be on St. Patrick's Day, 2155 Hilltop. Don't forget to wear your green. By far the friendliest bar.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Springtime is the time to buy a new Polaris. During the Polaris Spring Sales event, you can get low financing and rebates up to $1,500 on the world's best-selling side-by-sides and ATVs. See your Polaris dealer now. Visit Lee's Polaris, 2230 Larkspur Lane in Reading. Offers valid in U.S. through April 30th, 2019 on new 2015 through 2019 vehicles, subject to credit approval. Offers vary by model. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet. Never drink and ride.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, I do want to talk about President Trump's national emergency declaration, but I do have a quick final note on the awful events in Christchurch over the last 24 hours. I just want to reiterate when it comes to stuff like this. We live in a world where flashpoints are used in order to politically polarize. I don't legitimately know where there should be serious political difference on the evil of this and why you would point fingers at people who are not responsible for things. Unless you are badly motivated. I don't know why you would do that. Everybody is united in condemning this, as well they should be, just like everybody was united in condemning the shooting at the Texas church or at the South Carolina church. We are all united when it comes to fighting acts of evil. It's why we have a civilization. If we were not united in fighting acts of evil, we would not have a civilization. And casting aspersions at people who believe the same way that you do, that this is an act of tremendous evil, and that the ideology that supports this act of evil is itself evil, that fighting those people or lumping them in with the bad guys, that is in and of itself horrifying and disgusting. It's really bad. It's really bad stuff. Okay, let's move on to President Trump and his emergency declaration. So the Senate voted yesterday to reject President Trump's emergency declaration. Immediately, Trump tweeted, "Veto," all capital letters. The Senate's resolution was passed 59-41 to overturn his national emergency declaration. Them saying, "We didn't delegate you this kind of power, and you are not allowed to simply overrule us by declaring a national emergency." And it does show that the national emergency power is to a certain extent being abused, because the fact is that the National Emergency Act was designed to allow the president to act in the absence of congressional opinion making or weighing in. The reason to declare a national emergency is you don't actually have time to go to Congress for the appropriations. You just declare a national emergency. It was the first time that I think has ever happened where Congress has explicitly rejected a national emergency declaration from a president. The reason for that, because the president negotiated with Congress. He didn't get what he wanted, and then he declared a national emergency. That is a violation of the constitutional order. That is not how the Constitution is supposed to work. President Trump said he was going to veto this. He said, "I look forward to vetoing the just-passed Democrat-inspired resolution, which would open borders while increasing crime, drugs, and trafficking in our country. I thank all of the strong Republicans who voted to support border security and our desperately needed wall." Now, I know a lot of senators and members of the House who voted in favor of upholding the national emergency declaration. I don't think that that was the right move. I don't think that was the constitutional move. And in fact, you saw a bunch of Republicans who switched their position on this simply because President Trump does have a massive amount of support. The fact is that a bunch of senators flipped on this, most prominently Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska. He had said earlier, "We absolutely have a crisis at the border, but as a constitutional conservative, I don't want a future Democratic president unilaterally rewriting gun laws or climate policy. If we get used to presidents just declaring an emergency anytime they can't get what they want from Congress, it will be almost impossible to go back to a constitutional system of checks and balances. Over the past decades, the legislative branch has given away too much power, and the executive branch has taken too much power." That seems like a pretty good predicate for voting against the national emergency declaration. And then he voted in favor of the national emergency declaration. He said the reason he did so is because he and Mike Lee had put forward a bill that would have curbed generally the power to declare a national emergency. And that bill had not been agreed to by the president. Well, then why are you voting with him on this national emergency? That still doesn't answer the question. The fact is, this national emergency, the one being declared right now, is not in fact legally a national emergency. It is a national emergency in the common parlance. It is something that the Congress ought to do something about. We ought to have a wall. The president doesn't get to overstep his boundaries just because he's doing something you like. The measure of a principle is whether, if the violation of the principle accomplishes something that you want, you are for it or against it. So if you have a principle, and then it turns out that tossing out the principle in order to get something done appeals to you, so you toss out the principle, then you really didn't have the principle to begin with. You had a politics of convenience. It's not just Senator Sasse who flipped on this sort of thing. Senator Tom Tillis wrote a full op-ed saying that he was not in favor of the national emergency declaration. He announced he would vote to terminate the national emergency declaration, and then he changed his mind and voted against terminating the national emergency declaration. And listen, I understand that there is severe pressure on these senators from people who are sitting home and who are thinking, okay, well, all this really comes down to is, do you want to protect the border or not? But that is a failure to educate your own voters, which is part of the job. And there's been this move in national politics toward, we will just appease whichever voters are in front of us. And it's our job to give the voters what they want. Well, that's half your job. The other half of your job is to help shape what voters want. It's to convince voters. It's to go back home and give people the hard messages. If you're not doing that, then you're not acting as a good representative. This is the difference between the sort of straight democratic representation model and the Burkean model of representation. Edmund Burke famously wrote that if you were a representative, then it was not just your job to represent the temporary wishes of the public. It was your job to represent, to act as your own conscience. They elected you to use your own conscience. And if the people don't like it, then I suppose they can turn you out. But they should give you a solid listen. They should give you a solid listen. Again, I think Republicans, this should have passed with an overwhelming supermajority. It did not. That is a lack of principle on the part of a lot of Republicans, including many Republicans with whom I generally agree. Now, I think there is a case to be made, and I think that you've heard Representative Dan Crenshaw make it, that if you really believe that it is legal for the president to declare a national emergency under current powers, then you vote in favor of this. But there are a bunch of people who said the president doesn't have those powers under the National Emergencies Act, and then they voted in favor of the president exercising powers he doesn't have. That's bad. Now, and I hear the excuses. Listen, I hear the excuses. The excuse that Democrats would do the exact same thing. That's true. That's why I'm not a Democrat. It is true. Democrats would go along with violations of the constitutional order, which is why, again, I am not a Democrat. So I guess you can continue to just go along with whatever the president wants if it mirrors your political preferences, but don't claim to be a constitutional conservative if you do. Okay, coming up, we're going to talk about Beto O'Rourke, and we're going to jump into the mailbag first. When men and women upgrade from those shabby, outdated multi-pack underwear to Tommy John, the most comfortable underwear on the planet, they have a lot to say about it. John says his only regret is that he didn't try Tommy John earlier. Julia says Tommy John is so comfortable, she forgets she's wearing them. The point is, men and women all across America are crazy about Tommy John. Both Tommy John's men's and women's underwear sport a no-wedgie guarantee, comfortable stay-put waistbands, and a range of fabrics that are luxuriously soft and designed to move with you. Plus, Tommy John has dress shirts and undershirts that always stay tucked, ridiculously soft loungewear, and go-anywhere apparel that's versatile enough to go from boardroom to boxing class. For ladies, check out their new Tommy John Air collection. Tommy John is so sure you're going to love the fit and feel, it's all backed by their best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. That means if you don't love that first pair, you will get a full refund. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. Hurry over to TommyJohn.com right now. Use code BEN for 20% off your first order. That is code BEN for 20% off only at TommyJohn.com. Again, that's TommyJohn.com. Their underwear are the best in the biz. I know, they're on my butt right now. Hurry to TommyJohn.com right now. Use code BEN for 20% off your first order. Okay, meanwhile, Beto. Right, so he is running, and the blowback has begun. The blowback has begun to Beto O'Rourke. There is a piece today in the New York Times all about how Beto O'Rourke is too white, and you knew this was coming. You knew that it was going to happen, that he was going to be criticized for being too privileged. I mentioned yesterday that it was astonishing to me that the media hadn't already jumped on this. The fact that Beto O'Rourke grew up exorbitantly wealthy and exorbitantly powerful in a fairly small town, and that he escaped a couple of misdemeanor transgressions, including a DWI, in which he apparently crossed the median lane, rammed into somebody, and then ran away, that he was able to spend most of his 20s running around the country in a crappy punk rock band with no blowback. And I was asking, why aren't Democrats pointing this out? I thought this is the party of inspiring personal stories and intersectionality and opposing white privilege and all of that. Well, all I had to do was wait 24 hours. Astiat Herndon is a columnist over at the New York Times. He writes, in Beto O'Rourke's announcement, his wife's silence stands out. Oh boy, get ready. Beto O'Rourke, the charismatic Texas Democrat and former member of the House of Representatives, announced his presidential campaign in a video on Thursday. The 3-minute clip quickly racked up thousands of shares, with some viewers excited by the prospect of his out-of-nowhere political rise. But others were put off by how his campaign deployed an age-old trope in American political theater, the silent, supportive wife. Throughout the video, Mr. O'Rourke's wife sat, Amy, sat quietly by her husband's side, periodically grasping his hand as he outlined his campaign vision. And occasionally, she smiled and gazed. Okay, now, I have a question. Why is this such a bad thing? There are a bunch of tweets, people saying, I'm so sick of wives being forced to silently gaze. Okay, so my wife, who is in fact a doctor, does not follow politics supremely closely. When people have asked her if I would ever run for office, she said, God, I hope not. My wife doesn't like being in the public spotlight. if she were in some sort of campaign commercial, if I asked her, you know what, sweetheart, I want to show a kinder world to the face, would you be in a campaign commercial? You think she actually wants me to kick it to her so she can talk about tax policy? Or is it possible that she would be supporting my dream in the same way that I have supported her dreams? I mean, there are a lot of rips on Beto O'Rourke. I don't think this one is particularly fair. Nonetheless, he's getting hit for it because his wife is not speaking in his campaign video, which is absurd. When was the last time you heard somebody say, where's Kamala Harris's husband and why isn't he speaking in her campaign videos? Because we're not electing that person. Why would we? The presence of the spouse is meant to show that this is a human. Okay, it's meant to cue you to the fact that Beto is a human, which I agree with. He may not be my favorite human, but he is a human. This is such an unfair rip, but it shows where the Democratic head is at, or where a lot of Democrats are at. This is what this column says. So absurd. Throughout the 1980s, Nancy Reagan and Barbara Bush could be found next to their presidential husbands, often silently supporting them in big moments. More recently, buoyed by Hillary Clinton's active role in her husband's campaigns, many elected officials have leaned on their partners as high-profile surrogates. In the current presidential race, Jane Sanders, wife of Bernie Sanders of Vermont, enjoyed a prominent behind-the-scenes role and gave a speech at his initial campaign rally. Wow. Mr. O'Rourke's video, however, struck some observers as especially out of place in a presidential race in which more Democratic women are running for president than ever before. Among several of these women, the husbands are rarely seen. So which is it? Should the spouse be seen, or should the spouse be heard, or should the spouse be neither? Which is it? On his first day of campaigning, in a seemingly offhand comment, Mr. O'Rourke joked about his wife, saying she was raising their children, sometimes with my help. His comments elicited both laughter and derision. Hey, I don't understand. Why is that? And then the following sentence is the best part. This is not the first time Mr. O'Rourke has been accused of appearing to revel in his advantages as a white male in an increasingly diverse Democratic Party. No, you don't. That is not what he was saying. Again, how am I finding myself defending Beto O'Rourke? How did this happen? Have we created a world where the guy that I mock as a pseudo-pothead who spent his days on the quad playing guitar for the gullible women? How am I defending Beto O'Rourke? How? Because you people are so crazy that you forced me into defending Beto O'Rourke. If I say about my wife that she spends an enormous amount of time raising our children, sometimes with my help, that is not deriding her. That is deriding me. That is Beto O'Rourke saying that his wife is a heroine and he is a person who is not doing his fair share. That's ridiculous to criticize him for that. But this columnist for the New York Times says, as he announced his campaign, complete with a profile in Vanity Fair, in which he hinted he was born to run for president, detractors pointed out that prominent black Democrats who lost their 2018 campaigns, including Stacey Abrams in Georgia and Andrew Gillum in Florida, are not running for president. Well, first of all, that's only for now. Both of them have said that they are considering it. For weeks before his presidential announcement, O'Rourke traveled across the country as he wrestled privately with whether to run and wrote musings on his Medium account. This drew jokes from several comedians and prominent social voices who compared his public agonizing with the stereotypical tendency for men to refuse to commit to relationships, particularly romantic ones. Okay, that, of course, is absolutely true. Nonetheless, this sort of rip is amazing. By the way, you know what I just noticed? This is not an opinion column. This is not an opinion column. The guy who wrote this is a reporter. You get to the bottom, and it reads like an opinion column. You get to the bottom, and it says that there are a couple of reporters who helped with this column. It says, Megan Felling, Sergio Pencaja, and Anjali Singhvi contributed. Wow. Just the bias of the New York Times is so strong that you can legitimately read one of their news pieces as though it's an op-ed and not notice it until you hit the end. But that just shows you where Beto is going to fall flat with a certain segment of the Democratic Party. It's the same place, by the way, that Joe Biden is going to fall flat. It's the same place that Joe Biden is going to fall flat with that intersectional base of the Democratic Party. Bernie Sanders can escape that because Bernie Sanders has that progressive base that is locked in. That's why I think people are overestimating Beto, not underestimating Beto at this point. I think people think that his charm offensive with the media will have some sort of significant impact in the primaries. I think that stuff's going to wear off. It's going to wear real thin really quickly. Barack Obama had the capacity to carry both the intersectional core as well as the media's love. Not the same thing for Beto O'Rourke. By the way, Beto is not doing a wonderful job on the campaign trail. He's going around making gaffes, basically. Yesterday, he did some sort of Instagram where he asked people for gas money because he's driving his minivan. But he just told us that we were all going to die thanks to climate change, and here he is at a gas station asking for money. Okay, so I thought that, again, I guess he's just living in the world like AOC. You know, just living in the world. One of the beautiful things about being a Democrat is you can actively ask for gas money as though you are Beto O'Rourke when he's 25 years old, not 45 years old. And people will think that this is a cool thing to do. Coming up, we'll jump into the mailbag and take your questions. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
This is the Savage Nation.
EMP expert Dr. William Forstchen. U.S. will cease to exist. 90% of population will die. I don't think that's news to you, right?
Both Korea and Iran have put out videos, which you can find on YouTube, of us being hit by an EMP. The leader of North Korea openly said, we're going to EMP you. That's it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you have hard water, the Limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate Limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-735-8360. That's 800-735-8360. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-735-8360.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. It's time for the mailbag, so let's jump right into your questions. Ryan says, hi, Ben. I'd be curious to know your perspective on the court's ruling that Remington can be sued in connection with the tragic Sandy Hook shooting. This is an absurd ruling. An absurd ruling. There is a court that ruled, for those who missed it, that Remington can be sued in court because the shooter in Sandy Hook used an AR-15 manufactured by Remington. That is the height of silly. Okay, that is the same thing as suggesting that Ford can be sued because you drove your Ford into a storefront. Okay, it's a vehicle. They didn't tell you how to drive it. The gun was not made to shoot children. It was made to defend against people who try to shoot children. That's what guns are made for. If you want to sue the state for failing to do proper background checks, that's more understandable. But if you're going to sue Remington, I mean, that theory of products liability is a complete fail. Products liability, generally, there are only a couple of classes of products liability, and I'm trying to remember all the way back to law school, which was now 12 years ago. But thinking back to law school, there are only a couple of lines of product liability. There is design flaws, and then there's manufacturing flaws. Design flaws are that I designed a product that is designed badly and is going to harm you because of its design. And the other one is a manufacturing flaw. There's something in the machine itself that is broken, and that broke and that hurt you. Okay, it's not a design flaw when the gun works exactly how it's supposed to work. It is just being aimed by a complete evil piece of garbage at innocent people because the gun was not designed for that purpose. This is like suing a knife manufacturer for O.J. Simpson's alleged murder of his ex-wife. Craig says, "Hey Ben, I'm addicted to watching atheist versus religion debates on YouTube, specifically Christopher Hitchens debating Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. In light of your upcoming book, what are your current thoughts on the debate between atheists and theists? Have you ever met Rabbi Shmuley?" Thanks, Craig. No, I have not actually met Rabbi Shmuley. As far as the debate between atheists and theists, you know, I've done a couple of these, so I've had more discussions than debates. I've had discussions with Sam Harris a couple of times, once on his podcast, once on mine. I've had discussions with Michael Shermer, a friend of mine who happens to be the editor of Skeptic Magazine and is best described as sort of an agnostic slash atheist. The real question about the argument between atheism and theism is that I don't think both sides actually understand each other. Mainly, I think atheists don't understand theists. I think that a lot of atheists seem to believe that if they argue against the Bible, that this is somehow an argument against theism itself. It is not. That if they just cite a couple of out-of-context verses from the Bible, they're going to shatter the faith of people who believe in it. That is not going to happen. That if there is an order to nature, that somehow this is a disproving of God's presence, or that if you are a believer in Darwinian evolution, that somehow this disproves God's presence because it looks like an order without a designer. Well, who designed that order? All that theists believe is that there is a designed order to the universe, and that that order to the universe was created by an active mind. That's the basis of theism. And it's not really a disprovable thesis. And there are some people who have attempted to... And then you stack up evidence on both sides. You see which is more likely, which is less likely. So I find these sorts of things interesting. What I do find is that for a lot of atheists, people with whom I speak, and I talk about this in my new book, The Right Side of History, a lot of atheists use religious premises for their own arguments. So a lot of atheists will assume that free will exists. A lot of atheists will assume that reason is something worth doting upon. But in an atheistic materialist universe, I don't see why reason is anything special. Reason is just a firing of neurons that is evolutionarily beneficial, presumably. So why should we value reason above, for example, force, if force is more evolutionarily beneficial? The attempt to build a morality on atheism is the real problem I have. There are lots of atheists who are wonderful people. I have lots of friends who are atheists. But building a morality on atheism, I think, is nearly impossible. Sally says, "Hi, Ben. Like you, many people I grew up with dated with a purpose in mind. However, do you think a case can be made that looking only at the opposite gender for purposes of marriage could result in the genders never engaging on a friendly basis? Is dating only for marriage somewhat responsible for a disconnect between the genders? So much so that in traditional communities, they seem to be occupying two separate worlds. Thanks, Sally." Yeah, I think there's a legitimate criticism. I grew up in an Orthodox Jewish community. There was a separate boys' school and a separate girls' school in our high school. I think that was a good thing, because I think the risks of sexual interplay between boys and girls in an unhealthy way in high school is extremely high. With that said, once I went to college, did I hang out with girls? Did I have friends who were girls? Of course. In law school, some of my best friends were women. That's great. I mean, I think that you should be friends with members of the opposite sex. I also think that this is where siblings really do play a role. I have three younger sisters, and that means that I knew kind of how girls act and how they think, and all of that is very helpful. You do have to have a well-rounded view of women in order to know what to look for in a woman. And a lot of that has to do, again, with having a healthy family life, too, having a father and a mother who have a healthy marriage. You learn a lot about what you want in a person of the opposite sex by looking at your parents, just as you learn a lot about what you want to be by looking at your parents of the same sex. Parents are really important here, really important. Connor says, "Hey, Ben, I'm planning on starting a blog featuring my political commentary. Do you have any tips on how to gain an audience and a platform?" Well, you know, I think that the great temptation, and I know this because I went through this at 17, the great temptation is to write stuff that is deliberately provocative to get attention. Resist the temptation. I wish that I had.
KCNR rolls into 2019 with great changes to our programming. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, it's the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, 1460 a.m. and soon on 96.5 FM. Now, more than ever, we are your locally owned, community-connected radio station. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. The chief of Christ Church Hospital says seven of the 48 gunshot victims admitted after Friday's mosque shootings have been discharged. Greg Robertson says that a four-year-old girl who has been transferred to an Auckland hospital in critical condition and 11 patients who remain in Christ Church are also critically wounded. He says that many patients will require multiple operations to deal with their complex series of injuries. Correspondent Sagar Magani reports President Trump has issued his first veto.
A day after a dozen Republicans joined in blocking his move to go around Congress and securing border funding, the president fought back.
I will be signing and issuing a formal veto of this reckless resolution.
Surrounded in the Oval Office by law enforcement officials and families of those killed by people in the country illegally, he did sign it after blasting Congress for voting against reality.
It is a tremendous national emergency. It is a tremendous crisis.
Lawmakers had said the president was violating the separation of powers by unilaterally deciding where to spend money. It's unlikely they'll have enough votes to override his veto. Sagar Magani, Washington.
The Trump administration says that the U.S. expects North Korea to live up to its promise to halt nuclear and missile activity.
In response to North Korea's threat to suspend denuclearization talks with the U.S., Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said that message is far different than the one delivered at the recent Vietnam summit.
In Hanoi, on multiple occasions, he spoke directly to the president and made a commitment that he would not resume nuclear testing, nor would he resume missile testing.
Pompeo said that's Chairman Kim's word, and the U.S. has every expectation he will live up to that commitment. Greg Clugston, The White House.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Many people today think the Bible, the most influential book in world history, is not only outdated, but also irrelevant, irrational, and even immoral. Dennis Prager here. I've written a book, The Rational Bible, Genesis, to prove otherwise. My new book demonstrates clearly and powerfully that the Bible remains profoundly relevant both for the great issues of our day and in each of our lives. The Rational Bible Genesis comes out this May, and I want to invite you to join me for an exclusive pre-launch event for my book on May 6th in Orlando, Florida. That will be the first day it will be available to the public. Get your tickets today. Be part of a full-day celebration with me and our partners at TBN. Come and be part of the studio audience for the taping and live broadcast of my radio show. After the broadcast, I'll discuss my new book, answer your questions, and you'll get a signed copy of The Rational Bible Genesis. Join me in Orlando on May 6th. Get your tickets today when you visit my website, DennisPrager.com, and click on the Rational Bible banner. See you in Orlando.
Tesla unveiled a new all-electric SUV.
The automaker's Model Y seat 7 has a panoramic glass roof and a 15-inch touchstone screen interface for accessing all of the car's controls. The all-electric midsize SUV will start at $39,000 for the standard range version, which the company says can go 230 miles in a single charge. The long-range model, which starts at $47,000, has a range of up to 300 miles on a single charge, less range than the Model 3. Ron DeRockster reporting.
A jury has decided Apple should pay $31 million in damages for infringing on patents for technology owned by mobile chip maker Qualcomm that helps iPhones quickly connect to the Internet and extend their battery life. The verdict Friday in a San Diego federal court follows a two-week trial that pitted two former allies that have become bitter adversaries. News and analysis at townhall.com. Beginning in the fall of 2020, the University of Tennessee will offer free tuition for lower-income students.
Interim University President Randy Boyd says this is a school for everyone, not just the wealthy or elite. Boyd says tuition and fees will be covered for students whose families have incomes of less than $50,000 a year. Both incoming students and those enrolled in 2020 will be eligible. 5 years ago, Tennessee became the first state to make community college free for new high school graduates. It later expanded that program to include older adults. I'm Mike Hempen.
U.S. employers posted nearly 7.6 million open jobs in January, a record high set in November, evidence that businesses are still hungry for workers, despite signs that the economy has slowed. Labor Department says hiring also rose in the number of people quitting their jobs picked up. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. A lot coming up for you this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we're having on Sagar and Jetty. He's the White House correspondent for the Daily Caller. He also happens to be an American Muslim who is writing extensively about what just happened in New Zealand, this horrific anti-Muslim terrorist attack by a white supremacist on two churches in Christchurch, New Zealand. We'll be having him on later to discuss this, the media coverage of this massacre, what exactly we can expect next in terms of policy and all the rest. But we begin this hour with a story that is going relatively unnoticed because of all the other events of the day, and that is this giant climate strike. So apparently it was a good idea for all the kids to leave school today and not go to school because they were striking about the climate or something. They were going to yell at the sun. According to CBS News, from the South Pacific to the edge of the Arctic Circle, students mobilized by social media and word of mouth skipped class Friday to protest what they believed are their government's failures to take tough action against global warming. The rallies were one of the biggest international actions yet, involving hundreds of thousands of students in more than 100 countries around the globe. Now, and a large number of these younger students are, of course, being brought there by parents or by teachers. The coordinated school strikes were inspired by 16-year-old activist in Sweden, Greta Thunberg, who began holding solitary demonstrations outside the Swedish parliament last year. Since then, the weekly protests have snowballed from a handful of cities to hundreds, fueled by dramatic headlines about the impact of climate change during the student's lifetime. Thunberg was recently nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize for literally standing outside a building with a sign. Ah, how things, I mean, honestly, it's an upgrade from past Nobel Peace Prizes. Barack Obama won a Nobel Peace Prize for being a human. We also had Yasser Arafat win a Nobel Peace Prize for being a terrorist, so I guess this is an upgrade. She says that as protesters cheered her name at a rally in Stockholm, that the world faces an existential crisis, the biggest crisis humanity has ever faced, and still it has been ignored for decades by those that have known about it, and you know who you are. You have ignored this and are most guilty of this. Well, this is not the biggest crisis humanity has ever faced. In fact, this is probably not in the top 10 crises that humanity has ever faced. And I mean of the last couple of hundred years alone. I mean, there was World War I. Then there was World War II. There was the flu epidemic of the early 20th century. There have been some pretty big crises, it turns out, in the history of humanity. A 3 degree Celsius temperature change over the course of the next century does not seem to me an existential crisis. How many people are going to die directly because of the temperature change? You're going to have to give me some numbers that make sense. And don't give me that people are going to migrate. Guess what has always happened throughout human history? People migrating. How do you think human beings got to America? How do you think they got to South America? How do you think human beings got to every random spot in the globe? It was called migration, folks. Nonetheless, even if you take seriously the threat of damage of climate change, you also have to balance that against the threat of action that actually destroys the economy and harms billions of people who are living around the world in the here and now. But this sort of catastrophic thinking, this pushing of the crisis mentality, it does carry some risks. It does carry some dangers. And the fact is that there are people who are driven by a crisis mentality to do evil things. This is true on virtually every side of the political aisle. If you look, for example, at this horrible, evil massacre in New Zealand, the person who perpetrated it was trying to cite, he's a white supremacist, he was trying to suggest there was a white genocide, that white people were on the verge of becoming non-majorities in Western countries, and that this was some sort of horrific crisis that had to be stopped. First of all, it's not a horrific crisis. Second of all, it doesn't have to be stopped. Why would you care about the color of somebody's skin as opposed to the beliefs in their head or the actions that they take in their life? But obviously, the crisis mentality is one of the things that drove this guy to do something evil. Now, crisis mentality can be deployed effectively when there's an actual crisis. But when you overestimate the crisis, what you're instead doing is driving people mad. And that seems to be what is happening with regard to many issues. One of those issues is indeed the issues of the environment. And this is particularly true when you look at politicians who suggest that people who disagree with them on climate policy are so-called climate deniers. You know, people who are literally standing there doing nothing while children will die because of them. Across the globe, protests big and small urged politicians to act against climate change while also highlighting local environmental problems. Speakers at the U.S. Capitol in Washington stood behind a banner that said, "We don't want to die." Again, I'm sorry to break it to you. We all will. Also, are you going to die like today because it's warm outside or cold outside? Like, what is this "we don't want to die" routine? Is your life really at risk? Because, again, this is the upper estimate from the International Panel on Climate Change. The upper end estimate is a 3 degrees Celsius climate change by the end of the century. Are we all going to die from that? In New York City, students chanted, "Save our planet," and "climate change has got to go" near an entrance to Central Park, because if there's one group of politicians who are definitely standing against the left, it is the New York government. In San Francisco, hundreds of students disrupted downtown traffic as they marched from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office to Senator Dianne Feinstein's office, which is probably great because that means that there are more cars idling in traffic and blowing emissions into the air, so that's smart. In Berlin, police said as many as 20,000 protesters, most of them young students, gathered in a downtown square, waving signs with slogans such as "March Now or Swim Later." Again, people are not going to be swimming. People are going to migrate over the course of time, as they have for every climate change in the history of humanity. And also, they were carrying signs that said "Climate Protection Report Card F" before marching through the Capitol's government quarter with a stop in front of Chancellor Angela Merkel's office. In Poland, thousands marched in rainy Warsaw and other cities to demand a ban on the burning of coal, which is a major source of carbon dioxide. Some wore face masks as they carried banners that read, "Today's air smells like the planet's last days." Okay, again, this is, if you're walking around with a sign saying "apocalypse tomorrow," we used to make fun of those people. They were the crazies who carried the sandwich board on their chest in all the New Yorker cartoons. Now, we praise them and offer them the Nobel Prize. In India's capital of New Delhi, school children protested inaction on climate change and rising air pollution levels that often far exceeded World Health Organization limits. That's all well and good, but it is worthwhile to note that without carbon-based fuels, even more people will be living in poverty in India. In Paris, teenagers were thronging the cobblestone streets, according to CBS News, carrying signs that said "Now or Never." Well, then I guess it's never, because it's not happening like right now. Police in Vienna said 10,000 students rallied in the capital. In Helsinki, 3,000 students stood in front of Finland's parliament, sporting placards such as "Dinosaurs thought they had time too." Well, dinosaurs didn't think much of anything. They're real stupid. Thousands marched through Madrid and more than 50 other Spanish cities. Spain is vulnerable to rising sea levels and rapid desertification. This sort of boosting, cheering on of apocalyptic thinking about something that is going to be a gradual change over the course of the century is not good for the mental health of humans. It is bad for the mental health of humans. It's so funny. The same media that will declare that it is not a national emergency or crisis, that massive caravans of people are moving from South and Latin America up to the United States border in the here and now, are suggesting that we should be talking as though the world is going to end in the next 50 years if we don't start doing something like driving less. As I've said before, if they really feel this drastically about climate change, then we have only one choice. If this is our World War II, we have to start bombing the coal plants in China and India. That's the only way to make this happen. China and India are the leading producers of carbon emissions. Beto O'Rourke was one of the folks who was pushing this nonsense. He goes out there and says, the Green New Deal is just like Normandy. The Green New Deal, just like Normandy, right? Just like the people storming Normandy to fight the Nazis, who it turns out were evil in the here and now and murdering civilians and destroying the continent of Europe and creating a fascist regime. Fighting climate change is just like that. And the people who are fighting climate change, they're just like the brave 18-year-olds running onto beaches where they knew they were running direct into cannon fire. Yeah, exactly the same, Beto.
If you think of our leadership, those who preceded us, right? Those who were on the beaches in Normandy, those who faced an existential threat to Western democracy and our way of life, they showed us the way. We can all come together, we can unite, we can marshal the resources, and we can convene the countries of the world around otherwise unsolvable problems. That's who we are. That's why they call us the indispensable nation.
Okay, well, they're not calling us the indispensable nation because we are talking about cutting our carbon emissions. We have, by the way, been cutting our carbon emissions over the past few years. We are the number one carbon-emitting country that cut carbon emissions over the last 24 months or so, over the last 5 years, I believe, total. Nonetheless, this sort of catastrophic thinking has infected large portions of the left, and it does have consequences, not just in terms of a ramped-up politics in which you suggest that people who disagree with you want children to die, but also in terms of setting off kooks. You know, it's so funny. The same people who will suggest that normal rhetoric has danger of setting off kooks. We'll get to more of that in a second. Those same people will use the most extreme rhetoric when talking about issues like climate change. Okay, first, let's talk about your online security. Admit it. You think that cybercrime is something that happens to other people. You may think no one wants your data or that hackers can't grab your passwords or credit card details, but you'd be wrong. Stealing data from unsuspecting people on public Wi-Fi is one of the simplest and cheapest ways for hackers to make money. When you leave your internet connection unencrypted, you might as well be writing your passwords and credit card numbers on an enormous billboard for the rest of the world to see, which is why I decided to take action. To protect myself from cybercriminals, I use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data, hiding your public IP address. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of your phone, computer, and tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection, that only takes one click. Using ExpressVPN, I can safely surf on public Wi-Fi without being snooped on or having my personal data stolen. For less than $7 per month, you can get the same ExpressVPN protection I have. Protect your online activity today. Find out how you can get 3 months for free at expressvpn.com/Ben. That is ExpressVPN.com/Ben for 3 months free with a 1-year package. That is expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. ExpressVPN.com/Ben. All the rhetoric needs to cool down. Hey, we are not at the end of the world. We are not at the end of the United States. We are not on the verge of destroying the planet. Millions will not die, and not because of net neutrality, not because of tax cuts, and no, not because of climate change policies that are rejected in the here and now. That is not a reality. And a media that continues to push this is exacerbating it. They're making it worse. Politicians have an interest in driving a sense of crisis, specifically so they can be the people who say they're going to save you from the crisis. You remember Barack Obama in 2008 saying, this was the moment that the seas will begin to recede. What happened to that guy? I thought that was the moment when we were going to say the seas began to recede, did they? Because they didn't, did they? And you know what happened? You know, not much. It turns out human beings are incredibly adaptable. And there are very few things in life that I am optimistic about. I am by nature a bit of a pessimist. Because pessimism just means that you will be right eventually. But there are a couple things that I'm optimistic about. Not because I'm optimistic, but because I'm realistic. I am realistic about human beings' capacity to adapt to change circumstances. People do it regularly. We've been doing it for literally tens of thousands of years. We've gotten pretty good at it. I'm also optimistic about the ability of people to come up with new technologies, new inventions, to be entrepreneurial. You know what I am not optimistic about? The capacity of people to mobilize communally to shut down particular industries in the name of solving some sort of crisis. That very rarely works out well, and it usually has unintended consequences that are much worse than what people were talking about in the first place. Okay, in a second, I'm going to give you the ultimate example of the media pushing a crisis mentality. But first, your life is about to get better. You can now watch all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show commercial-free on demand. How, you ask? Well, just pop on over to dailywire.com, click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. Daily Wire premium subscribers are the only people who can watch all 3 hours every day with no commercials. That is correct, zero commercials. A Daily Wire subscription includes not only all 3 hours of the show commercial-free, but you can ask me questions through the mailbag. You can watch live and recorded episodes of The Andrew Klavan Show, The Michael Knowles Show, The Matt Walsh Show, and much more. Plus, as part of a limited-time offer, you will get the exclusive Leftist Tears Tumblr, so you can drink your leftist tears or coffee or tea, whatever it is you're into, hot or cold, and look great doing it. Are you tired of just listening to this beautiful voice? Are you ready to see this incredible face? Want to watch or listen to the show at your desk while you pretend to do work? Well, go to dailywire.com, make it happen for yourself. Click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. That is the only way to get all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show on demand, commercial free. There is no other way. So go to dailywire.com, click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. Go check it out right now, dailywire.com. All right, coming up, I'm going to show you the ultimate example of the media pushing exactly the sort of catastrophic thinking that leads to political and personal extremism and tears us apart. You wonder what happened to our civilization? The notion that the end is right around the corner, that the end is near, that's a big part of it. We'll talk about it in just a second. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
We try to make healthy choices, but do you ever choose the air you breathe? Now you can, with a complete indoor air quality package from Wave Home Solutions. Included is the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit with computerized sensor control and app to reduce moisture, mold, odors, and insect infestation from your basement or crawl space. It also expels harmful gases such as radon, carbon monoxide, and other pollutants. Addressing the worst air in your home will transform the entire house. Add the Wave 6-stage hospital-grade air purifier, the only one with HEPA filtration, 2 UV lamps, and other processes for a 99% kill rate of a broad range of pollutants and allergens. The Wave Indoor Air Quality Package will make your home a drier, cleaner, and healthier one all year round. It's time you choose the air you breathe. Choose Wave Home Solutions. Call 888-979-WAVE. That's 888-979-WAVE. Or visit dryhousenow.com. Dryhousenow.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep. And you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start on your back taxes. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-312-9970. Our New Start program could stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Don't wait until another tax season ends and another year of penalties and interest are added to your balance. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970. That's 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. Again, that's 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. So we're talking about catastrophic thinking that drives people to do crazy things and to think bad things of their political opponents, to not see each other as brothers and sisters, as people who are part of a common civilization, you know, people who agree on basic values, like, for example, free speech and the individual value of other human beings, you know, the stuff that built Western civilization. I have an entire book coming out about this next week called The Right Side of History. We really should all hold all of those basic principles of Western civilization in common. But one of the things that tears us apart is suggesting that people on the other side of the political aisle who disagree with us are purposefully malicious, that they don't care about children, they don't care about the future, that they want to destroy the planet. The media are pushing this out wholesale. So the best example of this of the day, over at the New York Times, the New York Times has an insane, ridiculous, like truly crazy, quote-unquote op-ed. It's a 9-year-old, okay, named Zane Cowie, and a video by a bunch of people over at the New York Times in which this 9-year-old turns the table on grown-ups, this is according to the New York Times, reading a children's book written especially for them, Goodbye, Earth. It calls out the adults who failed at addressing climate change, leaving the consequences to be dealt with by younger generations. So once again, this is demonization of people who disagree with the preferred climate change solutions pushed by the left. Here's a 9-year-old lecturing you about this, because if we have to hear about catastrophic, apocalyptic destruction of the Earth itself, I always want to hear that from a 9-year-old, like this is some outtake from The Ring.
The world is big and I am small. The Earth's in trouble. Hear her call. 1 degree warmer is our demise. We're on track for more to rise. Goodbye, New York and Miami, both cities swallowed by the sea. Whose fault is all this climate mess? You grown-ups must confess. While cities burned and temperatures soared, you upped and left the Paris Accord. You think this is a fun rhyme book? With your inaction, the Earth will cook. You've had enough of empty vows, your plastic bags, your farting cows. On a hot February day, you barbecued and went to play. But it's no time for celebration. You totally screwed my generation. If we don't protect all it's worth, prepare to say goodbye, Earth.
Oh my God. I mean, that's not even a recommend. That, like, is there a fact in there? Is there a fact in there? My favorite is where they just sort of intersperse the people at the New York Times. They just intersperse cuts of cities underwater. Miami and New York will be completely underwater. What's his time frame here? Like, legitimately, what's his time? Are we not going to build any seawalls at all? There's not going to be any movement of people from these places? It'll just be like the day after tomorrow? And I love using children as the stand-ins for your opinions. Folks, do not use 9-year-olds as stand-ins for your opinions. 9-year-olds don't know things. You wouldn't take advice from a 9-year-old on how to structure their own education. You wouldn't take advice from 9-year-olds on how often to bathe. Why would you take advice from 9-year-olds on what exactly it means for them that you embrace a different sort of solution to climate change? But this sort of catastrophic thinking, again, is not designed to spur thought. It is not designed to spur discussion. It is designed to say that if you fail to recognize the premise that we are all about to die, then you must be somebody who's okay with us being about to die. If you refuse to acknowledge that this is an emergency, it's because you don't care about the issue at all. Now, I've said with regard to the border that what Democrats should say about President Trump suggesting the border is an emergency, Democrats should say, you know what? It's a problem. And here are a couple solutions for it. And when it comes to climate change, as I've said, is it a problem? Sure. And you know what we should do? We should deregulate businesses so that they can be more entrepreneurial. We should ensure that folks are not regulated into the ground so that they have extra money to use to build new products. We should shift toward newer and better modes of energy through profitable means. And you know, one of the reasons that the United States has become a net carbon, a carbon decreaser, we've been decreasing over the past several years, is because of exactly that sort of entrepreneurialism. We developed fracking, for example. We use coal less and we use fracking more, natural gas more. That's the stuff I want to rely on. But if you say that, then you're immediately deemed one of the old people in the room when this 9-year-old lectures you about how the Earth will cook. The Earth will cook. It's something from a bad sci-fi movie where suddenly a 9-year-old shows up for no reason in the middle of the scene and says to the superheroes some sort of dire prophecy about how doomsday is coming. None of this, again, is designed to make the country better or richer. None of it is designed to make the conversation better. All of it is designed to create in-groups and out-groups around issues where essentially there should be unity, because if we actually agree that there's a problem, then we can start talking about solutions. But I'm not going to agree that there is a problem to the extent that we are all going to die, because to me, that is you exaggerating so that you can force me to do whatever you want. It's just a variant of the old hackneyed chestnut, if it just saves one child. Oh, if it just saves one child, wouldn't you do X, Y, or Z? It depends. What is the X, Y, or Z? If it would just save one child, would you ban free speech? No. No, I wouldn't. Right. And if it, so now they're doing this. If you if we're talking about saving the earth here, the earth, wouldn't you burn your car, just go outside and burn it? Wouldn't you burn down your own house and live in a tent if it meant preventing the end of the earth? By exaggerating the case, by creating crisis mentality, what you're doing is calling for crisis solutions. And then if people don't embrace the crisis solutions, they're bad people who deserve to be castigated as out of touch, mean, cruel, and uncaring. All right, coming up, we are going to be joined by Sagar and Jetty. He's a White House correspondent for the Daily Caller. He's also an American Muslim. And he's been analyzing what's been going on in New Zealand. We want to bring him on to discuss the latest events in New Zealand, how the media have been covering it, because the media coverage has been egregious. The media, of course, is doing precisely, in many cases, what the massacre terrorist wanted. They're ripping open wounds and dividing us against one another in a time when we need...
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com. KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and I'm excited to tell you about a special broadcast I'm going to be doing on my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell. On May 23rd, 2019, at 11 o'clock in the morning on KCNR, 1460 AM or 96.5 FM, I have a special guest coming. Her name is Carrie Newcomer, and she's incredible. She's an American singer, songwriter, and author. She's produced 16 solo CDs and has received numerous awards for her music and related charitable activities. What's really important is that Carrie is one of my favorite singer-songwriters. She helped me survive the incredibly difficult journey of grief when my husband died. So I talked to Carrie, and she is coming on my show, and we're going to talk together about surviving grief through music. So please join us on Saturday, May 23rd, 2019, at 11 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to talk about grief and how you can survive.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your personal protection tip of the day. Use technology to reinforce your home and make it undesirable for criminals. The use of alarms, cameras, lights, and reinforced door and window locks may go a long way towards helping a would-be thief make a better decision. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find a register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on Them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about Them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So obviously the big news of the day is this horrifying terrorist attack in Christchurch, New Zealand, against two mosques by a white supremacist, an anti-Muslim attack in which some 49 people were murdered. And it's a brutal, awful act of terrorism. Joining us on the line to discuss it, Sagar Engedi. He's the White House correspondent for the Daily Caller. He's also an American Muslim. Sagar, thanks so much for joining the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for joining. Actually, I'm not a Muslim. It's just for the record.
Okay. So
I'm happy to join.
Okay. So, Sagar, you were covering a little bit earlier today this attack, and you were pointing out that the media have been doing not a wonderful job of coverage on this attack. How do you think the media ought to cover stuff like this?
Sure, Ben. And I think one of the most important parts is that the attacker, he was very cognizant that by using a gun, he explicitly said this, that he could exploit Second Amendment cleavages in the United States, which would blow up this issue in our politics, turn it into a partisan thing, and that would create a global controversy. And it's important, right, to not play into these types of things that these attackers want. This is an evil ideology. It was explicitly designed in order to bring about a culture war in the United States and in the West. And the worst possible thing that we could do is feed into that desire by playing upon those things, attacking people that he obviously wanted to troll or to create political problems for, like Candace Owens, like the president. And instead, we should be coming together in moments like this.
Well, Sagar, what have you seen in the media that's been particularly egregious? Because, you know, I've made it a policy that I'm not going to read from this shooter's manifesto, because that's giving him exactly what he wants. As you say, he says explicitly in the manifesto that he is looking to drive all sorts of racial conflict, particularly in the United States, that he wants people to turn on each other. I'm seeing some folks in the media immediately attempt to turn around and blame President Trump, to blame mainstream conservatives for this sort of thing. I'm wondering what you're seeing out there.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, as usual, you yourself have been a target of these things, of quote unquote normalizing this type of behavior. Anybody who is supporting the president was asked shortly before in the Oval Office whether he had any, or whether white nationalism was on the rise or connecting to his administration in any way. All of these things are exactly the exact response that this shooter wanted us to undertake. He actually frequently references how the journalists will have a field day with many of the admissions that are in his manifesto. He was very hyper-cognizant of the media environment that we have today. And what he wanted to do by carrying out this disgusting act was have those types of questions leveled at mainstream conservatives to create the type of environment where conservatives would feel so targeted by the current mainstream that they would turn to the disgusting violence that he turned to today.
Sagar, well, you've actually read the manifesto. You know, again, one of the things that I find so astonishing about the manifesto is that so many people on the left are claiming that this guy was some sort of conservative. He explicitly says he is not conservative in the manifesto, and that, in fact, he thinks conservatives have basically handed over civilization to people he sees as the enemy, and yet the media seem again to be running with this narrative that mainline conservatism is somehow in agreement with this sort of evil act.
That's absolutely right. He explicitly denounces mainline conservatism, has an entire section in which he tells conservatives that they will never win, that the only avenue is to embrace his repulsive, race-conscious ideology and to work towards an ethno-nationalist state, which the only thing that you can conserve is your own racial white heritage. And so it really is, in many ways, the complete and utter opposite of any sort of mainline conservatism. He talks explicitly about how he's a fascist. He discusses, you know, total and utter control of the state. Many, he just endorses a lot of ideas which are completely outside of the mainstream. But many journalists who just cover these issues are so desperate in order to pin it on somebody who is to mainline conservatism today, or to draw some sort of connection with the president, that they don't really understand the actual explicit nature of how evil an ideology that this is.
Well, Sagar, one of the other things that people have been doing today is they have been suggesting that, for example, he was inspired by Candace Owens, who's mentioned by name here. As you mentioned, they say that he was inspired by me, despite the fact that my name is not only not mentioned there, but that I was the number one target of alt-right white supremacists like him in 2016. But what do folks not understand about the nature of material like this? Because there are so many folks in the media who are covering this piece of human debris, who wrote this manifesto for 8chan, and the manifesto is filled with what people call bleep posting and trollery. What do people not understand about that form of online communication? And it's causing them to deliberately be as literal as possible in their interpretation of this stuff.
Yeah, that's right. They don't understand the true nihilistic, comedic urge of blank posting, like what you were saying. And what that really comes down to is to try and it's the trollish action of trying to lead journalists down a certain path. He explicitly named Candace Owens and others in this document in order to cause them political problems, because he knew of any explicit association with him would have ramifications for others. And this type of nihilistic kind of, they call it black pilled, outrage and outlook on life is something that is difficult for, you know, for people who are not versed in this to understand, but it is meant to deceive well-meaning and you know, well-meaning journalists who are trying to read this, and they're looking at it, the way that he wanted it to be read was as a way in order to dupe others into going down the action that he does call for later in the document.
Well, Sagar, thanks so much for covering this. Sagar Anjetti, White House correspondent for the Daily Caller, thanks for staying on top of this and debunking a lot of the myths being purveyed by the media in the aftermath of a terrorist attack about which we are all unified. White supremacy is evil. Everyone acknowledges that white supremacy is evil. Everyone of good heart. Everyone is heartbroken at what happened in Christchurch. The attempts to divide us along political lines to deny that reality is really, really difficult to deal with, frankly. Sagar, thanks so much for joining the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ben.
Well, one of the folks who's been pushing this is obviously Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's been pushing this forward. She's been tweeting out the idea that people are being radicalized by sort of generalized online material. She links back to a New York Times piece that supposedly links together pretty much everybody on the right with white supremacists. And that's not uncommon. We're seeing a lot of that today. And there is rightfully a lot of talk about radicalization on the Internet. And we've seen radicalization on the Internet happen for a variety of philosophies. Obviously, we've seen people who are radicalized in the West to join ISIS, for example. You know, they're living in the West, they have no actual formal connection with ISIS, and then they go online, and they're sucked into a world where they feel important, and they go and travel over, become ISIS terrorists, or commit terrorism in their own homeland. We see this sort of thing happen with white supremacism also, the attempt to draw people in to evil ideas through these little pockets of the Internet. One of the terrible things about the Internet is the ability to fracture people off into tiny little segments, and then they find common cause. Now, think about it this way. Before the Internet, if there is a person in your community who believed something truly evil, were there a large number of those people? Probably not. Probably there's one guy, maybe two people. Was it enough to form a community of support, a support group that cheered on these sorts of acts of evil? Of course not. Now that the Internet exists, you can find people who believe in anything. There's a market for anything. There are 6 billion people on this planet. Not hard to find people who believe some of the most vile, terrible things imaginable. And not hard to find a community of like mind to cheer you on when you do this stuff. Beyond that, because the Internet reaches so many people, it means that the most popular people on the internet reach a lot of people. A certain subset of those people are undoubtedly going to believe or do stupid things. And this is what you see in the discussion of radicalization networks you're seeing from the media today. What you'll see from the media today is that that if you listen to a mainstream right-wing figure, that will lead you down a rabbit hole where you will inevitably become a Nazi. Well, if that's the case, then why is it that the most popular mainstream right-wing figures don't have hundreds of thousands or millions of Nazis rooting for them? Why isn't that a bigger, broader thing? The answer is because people who want to be radicalized are going to be radicalized. And not only that, people who seek out bad answers are going to seek out those bad answers anywhere that they can find them. You know, what I see happening here, and it really is depressing, is the media attempting to conflate mainstream conservatism, mainstream right-wing thinking, basic criticism of radical Islam even, with the kind of stuff that happened in Christchurch today. I'm not just talking about myself. Obviously, I've come under fire today. That's not a shock. Candace Owens has come under fire today. That's more of a shock, probably, to me. I think that David French has come under fire, of National Review, and now of Time Magazine, has come under fire. I'm hard-pressed to think of a person on the right who would not come under fire given these standards. Because for the left, they don't actually attempt to link together causality. They don't attempt to link together. How could this idea lead to this action? Instead, what they do is they say, okay, well, this person, in a skewed and perverse way, misinterpreted an idea, and then misinterpreted a second idea, and then ends up at the worst possible idea, and then goes out and does something terrible. That's the fault of the person who said it, unless the person who originally said something was Bernie Sanders. And so what you're going to see is a vast blowback on the internet. You're going to see a vast blowback on free speech. That is the next step here. And that is deeply troubling and concerning. We'll get to that in just a second. First, let's talk about Black Rifle Coffee. Morning coffee is an American institution. That's why when it comes to starting my day, I reach for the most American coffee on the market. I'm talking about Black Rifle Coffee. Black Rifle Coffee gives a portion of their sales to veterans and first responder causes. Black Rifle Coffee is roast to order, guaranteeing you fresh, delicious coffee with every single order. Black Rifle's Coffee Club makes things easy. You just pick your blend and the amount you want. Black Rifle ships your coffee direct to your door every month, hassle-free. And while folks on the left threaten to further tax your hard-earned money with their socialist agenda, Black Rifle Coffee is fueling the fight for freedom by upping their offer to 20% off. Take advantage by visiting blackriflecoffee.com/Ben and receive 20% off your entire order. That is blackriflecoffee.com/Ben for 20% off. Once again, blackriflecoffee.com/Ben. That is blackriflecoffee.com/Ben, the most American institution making coffee today. Black Rifle Coffee, giving a portion of their sales to veterans and first responder causes. Terrific coffee, tastes great. Go check them out right now at blackriflecoffee.com/Ben for 20% off. blackriflecoffee.com/Ben. And again, this should not be a time where there's a lot of division in the West about this sort of stuff. Like, really, how many people do you know who are not disturbed by what happened in Christchurch, who don't think it was an act of tremendous evil to attack a religious site while people are praying inside? Who think, oh, well, that's fine with me. How many people do you think there are who actually believe that? Not many. Pretty much everybody is on the same page here. And yet in their determination to shut down an entire wing of thought, the conflation between white supremacy and mainline conservatism continues apace. And you're seeing it from the mainstream media. You're seeing it from people who are asking President Trump if he's somehow responsible for what happened in New Zealand without evidence. You're seeing this happen over and over. And it's really the far left pushing it. People who hate the right. It's never anybody who is intellectually honest about this stuff. It's always people who have an agenda to push. White supremacy is evil. And if you want to talk about where it's growing fastest, it's not growing fastest in the United States. It's growing fastest in Europe. So people are trying to portray this as an American export. The New York Times has an article today about how how white extremism is an American-style export. But that is not correct by the numbers. By the numbers, if you want to look at where white supremacist parties are doing well, look to Europe. You want to look where there are vast marches, tens of thousands of people, not 1,000 people in Charlottesville, tens of thousands of people in the streets. All you have to do is look over to Austria or Germany or Poland, Hungary. That's where this is a real problem. That's not to say it's not a problem here. But to lump together mainstream American philosophy that calls for limited government and individual rights and seeing people as individuals, not as members of groups, to lump that in with this sort of tribal identity politics, which is what white supremacy is. It's just a form of tribal identity politics, is obviously bad faith. It's obviously disgusting. And it's obviously designed to achieve a certain effect, which is, of course, why members of the media are doing it. Funny, they never did any of this after a Bernie Sanders supporter shot up a congressional baseball game. We didn't get an entire referendum on whether Bernie Sanders' language was too inflammatory and led to violence. We didn't get any of that. But we do get that when there is some sort of explanation that white supremacism is actually an extension of normal American conservatism, which it obviously and eminently is not. In a second, we're going to get to the question, should President Trump be primaried? Now there's a major candidate, who is suggesting yes. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let's talk about your sleep quality. There's nobody on the planet like you, so why would you buy a generic mattress built for everybody else? Helix Sleep built a sleep quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress. Whether you're a side sleeper or a hot sleeper, whether you like a plush or a firm bed, with Helix, there's no more guessing and no more confusion. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They will match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. For couples, Helix can even split the mattress down the middle, providing individual support needs and feel preferences for each side. They have a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Right now, Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders. Get up to $125 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. That's helixsleep.com/Shapiro for $125 off your mattress order, helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Go check it out right now. My wife and I have a Helix Sleep mattress. It is indeed extraordinarily comfortable, which is why we got one for my sister for her wedding as well. Go check them out, helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Get up to $125 off all mattress orders when you do. Go check them out right now, helixsleep.com/Shapiro. All right, coming up, a major 2016 candidate suggests that perhaps President Trump should get a primary challenger. Who is it? Why would he suggest such a thing? And if he did so poorly in 2016, what makes him think he'll do better in 2020? We'll discuss. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So there's a major 2016 candidate who says that he wants President Trump primaried. Who is he? Well, he's the most exciting candidate of them all. Jeb'Ru McBush. Jeb Bush says, you know what? Maybe it's time to primary President Trump. Didn't he try to run against him in 2016 and fail radically? Sure, but why not try again?
I think someone should run just because Republicans ought to be given a choice, but I think you're probably right based on the premise you had that he has a strong, loyal base and it'd be hard to beat him. It's hard to beat a sitting president. But to have a conversation about what it is to be a conservative, I think it's important. And our country needs to have competing ideologies that people, you know, that are dynamic, that focus on the world we're in and the world we're moving towards rather than revert back to a nostalgic time.
Okay, well, you know, the fact is that his attempt to draw a primary challenge for President Trump is sheer nonsense. That is going nowhere. And the reason it's going nowhere fast is not because every Republican is in love with everything that President Trump is doing. It's because everybody acknowledges that it's very difficult to primary a sitting president. And there's a belief that anybody who attempts to primary Trump is not going to materialize into a solid general election candidate. In fact, David Beiler, who's a data columnist for The Washington Post, he says many Republicans want a primary fight, but would they actually vote for Trump's challengers? On Monday, CNN released the results of a poll of Iowa voters and found that 40% of registered Republicans hope there will be a primary challenge to President Trump for the GOP nomination in 2020. 41% may be a rough even split, but it's not exactly a promising sign for an incumbent president. Monmouth University recently asked a national sample of Republicans and Republican-leaning voters a similar question and found that 40% said they wanted Trump to face a primary challenge. Some 53% said that they would prefer that President Trump run unopposed. Those numbers might seem like a bad signal to Trump skeptical Republicans, but primarying Trump, kind of tough. According to the CNN poll, 82% of registered Republicans in Iowa rated Trump favorably. Only 15% rated him unfavorably. Former Ohio Governor John Kasich. Oh, no. God, no, not John Kasich. One of Trump's 2016 opponents is already rated unfavorably by 28% of Iowa Republicans, with 27% rating him favorably. Larry Hogan, who has talked about primarying Trump, was rated favorably by 4% of respondents and unfavorably by 12%. See, here's the thing. A lot of people don't like Trump or aren't in love with Trump at the very least, but for a variety of different reasons. So many conservatives think that Trump hasn't been conservative enough. They don't like his tweets. They're annoyed by his tweets. Then there are people who think that Trump hasn't been moderate enough. He hasn't reached across the other side of the aisle enough. He's been too volatile. This is the John Kasich wing of the party. There's a difference between the Ted Cruz wing of the party and the John Kasich wing of the party. And pretending that one single primary attempt against Trump is going to do any serious damage to him is, of course, foolish. And here's where it becomes seriously counterproductive. If you're a conservative and you want to see President Trump be more conservative, if you're a conservative and you want to see the Republican Party not split, if you want to see conservatism taking the leadership position inside the Republican Party once again, then the last thing you want to do is primary Trump. Why? Because inevitably Trump will win 80% of the primary vote. The 20% who vote for the conservative opponent will be cast out as lepers, and they will be seen as others by all the people who vote for Trump. Also, the media will jump on this to suggest that only 20% of Republicans are actually conservative. The other 80% are fine with everything that President Trump is, does, and has done. And that's not true either. A huge percentage of people who would vote for President Trump in a primary vote for him, not only because they think that his record is pretty good in office, but because they think he is best positioned to win a re-election fight as opposed to a primary opponent. And yet the media will tell a lie. The media will continue to promote the narrative that if you voted in favor of Trump over a primary opponent, that's because you like Trump better than that primary opponent in every aspect, and thus conservatism is dead. This is the narrative that the left has been trying to play since Trump won the nomination and then since he won the presidency, is that conservatism inside the Republican Party was dead because Trump defeated more conservative candidates, and then because people who didn't vote for Trump constituted a vast minority of Republican voters in 2016. Okay, but that's not the reality. The reality is there are a lot of practical considerations that go into voting for a particular candidate. Trump's an incumbent. Trump has done a lot of very conservative things. The chances of a primary voter, of a primary challenge that's in any way real or serious, especially from somebody like Jeb Bush, the chances are nil. Frankly, if Jeb Bush had not been on the stage in 2016, there's a better shot Trump wouldn't be president today. And Trump made mincemeat out of him. Every time Jeb went on stage, Trump pummeled him.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Correspondent Greg Clugston reports that President Trump has vetoed a congressional resolution that opposes his declaration of a national emergency at the southern border.
Using the veto pen for the first time in his presidency, Donald Trump said Congress was reckless in rejecting his emergency declaration to secure more border wall money.
Congress has the freedom to pass this resolution, and I have the duty to veto it, and I'm very proud to veto it.
The president said he was elected because millions of Americans want border security, and he said the U.S. has to confront an invasion of drugs, guns, and people at the southern border. Greg Clugston, the White House.
Greyhound cracking down with new security restrictions to keep immigrants from entering its bus stations.
The carrier is no longer allowing U.S. authorities to drop off immigrant families inside bus stations, as had been a long-standing practice up to this point. Those who have been released from custody hearings pending future court dates must now wait outside terminals until they have a ticket. The new policy would force immigrants to make purchases of tickets either by telephone or online, or to seek out Greyhound's partner convenience stores, like participating 7-Elevens, whose directions must be gleaned from navigating the Greyhound website. George Bonzani reporting.
New York Police Commissioner James O'Neill says his department's on counterterror alerts.
We're increasing patrols and our high-visibility counterterrorism presence at locations throughout the city.
That in the wake of the attack on two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand, that killed some 49 people. In New Zealand, Australian police say the family of the suspect in the New Zealand mosque shootings is helping their investigation. Authorities say four tornadoes touched down in mid-Michigan during a fast-moving storm that swept across the state. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Fred Dreyer, former Rams defensive end. Football season just ended, and you can bet teams are already hard at work scouting new talent for next season. But if you're running a small business, you need to know where to go to find top recruits. LinkedIn. It's where people go every day to make connections, grow in their careers, and discover new job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends the qualified candidates you want to spend time talking to make a quality hire you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise the new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting your job opportunity on LinkedIn and visit LinkedIn.com/solution. Get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/solution. Terms and conditions apply.
Senator Lindsey Graham is demanding fairness from Democrats as they push a resolution that calls for making public the details of the Mueller investigation.
When Senator Chuck Schumer proposed his resolution on the Senate floor,
unfortunately, it was blocked in the Senate by a single Republican.
That one lawmaker, Senator Lindsey Graham,
trying to find balance here.
His amendment would provide balance in the form of another special counsel.
Why don't we appoint a Mueller-like figure to look at how the Clinton email investigation ended up the way it did?
Graham also wants to know more about alleged efforts by top law enforcement officials to drive President Trump out of office using the 25th Amendment. Bob Agnew reporting.
New Zealand's history of hunting, farming, and sport shooting has led to a high rate of gun ownership. But the deadly mass shooting at two mosques could change all that less than 24 hours after the massacre. New Zealand's prime minister was already vowing to change the country's gun laws. News and analysis at townhall.com. EPA Assistant Administrator Alexandra Dunn says the government's banning consumer sales of a dangerous chemical paint stripper.
Administrator Wheeler signed a final regulation that will prohibit the manufacture, including import, processing, and distribution of methylene chloride in all paint removers for consumer use.
The EPA cited the acute fatalities that have resulted from exposure to the chemical and an unreasonable risk to consumers. Retail stores have until later this year to remove the product from sale. Many big chains already stopped sale of products with methylene chloride in recent months amid a campaign led by environmental groups and families of men overcome and killed by fumes from the paint stripper. Fumes from the product can affect the central nervous system, sometimes causing dizziness, disorientation, and death. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hey, this is the Ben Shapiro Show. A lot coming up for you this hour. A little bit later on in this hour, it's a Friday. That means that we have to do something relaxing. It's a very terrible news day. We can do something relaxing a little bit later this hour. We'll have Uncle Ben's SJW Storytime. Everybody loves Uncle Ben's SJW Storytime. If you don't, well, I don't care. I'm doing it anyway. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the hour. We'll also get to the updates on the New Zealand terror attack that has claimed the lives of 49 innocent people. Horrific, evil, anti-Muslim, white supremacism, disgusting, horrifying in every possible way. We'll get to that a little bit later. We'll bring you the updates from the media, which are trying now, naturally, to pin this on mainstream conservatism. Not a shock. This is what they do whenever a white supremacist does something evil. The attempt is to connect that in to mainstream conservatism. They don't do the same thing when a radical environmentalist shoots up a congressional baseball game, because that's obviously silly, to try and connect that to Bernie Sanders. Even though the guy's screaming Bernie Sanders slogans, is bad faith and stupid. I agree. You know what else is bad faith and stupid? Try and connect mainstream conservatism or criticism of radical Islam with a white supremacist going around attempting to murder Muslims who are simply worshiping Allah. That is absurd and ridiculous. But media are going to media. Media always going to media. We'll get to that in a little bit. First, we have to give you the updates on the 2020 race. So, Beto O'Rourke was asked today whether he had actually, whether he was ready to release his fundraising statistics. So you'll recall that Bernie Sanders in his first 24 hours raised like $10 million. Kamala Harris raised 1.5. Beto said, nah, bro, I don't think so. We have some other Beto updates, so that means it's time for some Beto-themed music. Yeah, right. So Beto O'Rourke He's not just you know, a man of the people. He's also bumming gas money. So this son of privilege, this uber privileged guy, son of a judge, lives in a three-story home once occupied by Pancho Villa, worth $9 million. Well, now he's in Iowa and he's driving around and he's asking people to give him money so that he can fill his car with gas. Even though I was told by reliable sources that the world would end if climate change continued. And yet there he is, this greedy neoliberal fascist, filling up his car with the gasoline and asking you to pay for it. Here is Beto.
Hey, everybody. We're in Wapello, Iowa. Start of the day, Tia Cook. We then went to Fort Madison. Then Burlington, and we're going to stay on the road for a very long time. But it takes your contributions to keep us out here. Let me show you. We've just filled up. So we've got 12 gallons and the Dodge Van Caravan that cost us $28.53. Please pitch in. Join everyone else who's helping make this happen.
He's so down to earth and wonderful. He's just like you, except for when he's claiming that we're all going to die in a global firestorm if people keep filling up their cars. But if you could please pay for his gas, that'd be awesome. Also, a kind of hilarious story from Reuters. Let me start with this. I don't think that people should generally be held accountable for the dumb things they do when they are teenagers. I don't. I think when you're a teenager, you're dumb. It's part of being a teenager. Well, Beto O'Rourke was, in fact, a dumb teenager. He belonged, apparently, to the oldest group of computer hackers in American history, according to Reuters. Now, I hold this standard. The left does not hold this standard, which is why they go after Brett Kavanaugh with allegations that were not verified in any way, and the suggestion that he was somehow a gang rapist when he was 17, even though they couldn't come up with evidence. Well, Beto O'Rourke was apparently a member of a computer hacking team, the hugely influential Cult of the Dead Cow, jokingly named after an abandoned Texas slaughterhouse, is notorious for releasing tools that allowed ordinary people to hack computers running Windows on Microsoft. It's also known for inventing the word hacktivism to describe human rights-driven security work. Members of the group have protected O'Rourke's secret for decades, reluctant to compromise his political viability. Now, in a series of interviews, CDC members have acknowledged O'Rourke as one of their own. In all, more than a dozen members of the group agreed to be named for the first time in a book about the hacking group by this reporter that is scheduled to be published in June by Public Affairs. O'Rourke was interviewed early on in his Senate run. He didn't break into computers or write code that enabled other people to do so, but his membership, says Reuters, in the group could explain his approach to politics better than anything on his resume. He says, there's just this profound value in being able to be apart from the system and look at it critically and have fun while you're doing it. I think of the Cult of the Dead Cow as a great example of that. It's pretty astonishing, frankly, that the media treat this with kid gloves. But there's a real split in the media. On the one hand, they love Beto because Beto is they. They are Beto. They're all the same. On the other hand, they don't like Beto because Beto's kind of white. And he's kind of privileged. And that's uncomfortable. This happens to be an article from Reuters that is the Beto is awesome version of the story. Beto's great because he likes to brood. Apparently, he was part of this Cult of the Dead Cow. But that wasn't the only weird stuff that he was doing when he was a young man. Apparently, he was also writing very weird stories, like very weird stories. He has creative writing from nearly 3 decades ago under the handle Psychedelic Warlord, and that remains online. One article he wrote as a teen mused how the world would work without money. He saw the end of starvation and class distinctions if there were no money. Now, again, I doubt that Beto feels the same way today. If he does, he's adult. That's silly. Another T-file from Rourke, written when he was 15, is a short and disturbing piece of fiction. Because one day, as I was driving home from work, I noticed 2 children crossing the street. They were happy, happy to be free from their troubles. This happiness was mine by right. I had earned it in my dreams. As I neared the young ones, I put all my weight on my right foot, keeping the accelerator pedal on the floor until I heard the crashing of the 2 children on the hood, and then the sharp cry of pain from one of the 2. I was just so fascinated for a moment that when, after I had stopped my vehicle, I just sat in a daze, sweet visions filling my head. In another piece, he took on a self-proclaimed neo-Nazi who maintained that Hitler was misunderstood and didn't personally want Jews killed. O'Rourke and a Jewish friend questioned the man about his theories and let him ramble about Jews and African-Americans and attempt to let him hang himself with his own words. Now, people are making hay out of this stuff. As I say, I don't think any of this is particularly relevant. Beto was a teenager. The only reason I mention it is because if it were a Republican who had written this, we would hear about how this person was a sociopath until the end of time, from Reuters. But as I say, the media are divided over Beto. Because on the one hand, they love that Beto is broody. They like the fact that Beto was the kind of person who went to Columbia and played guitar on the quad, because that's what they were. And then he couldn't find himself immediately after college and had to spend years traveling with a punk rock band, making his way, dude, righteous. And that's half of the media. The other half of the media, very angry at Beto because he's too white. So one member of the media, very angry at him, was asking him about why he should be running at all. This would be Gayle King from CBS This Morning. She asked him, why are you even running? I mean, don't you think that it's a disadvantage in this race for you to be a white guy from privilege?
In this particular, with the Democratic candidates, there are more women and more people of color than ever before. Some could say it's the way the party is leaning, that maybe the voters are signaling that's the candidate we want.
Yeah.
Do you feel at a disadvantage as a white man? As a privileged white man, they say about you.
I don't feel at a disadvantage. And at the same time, I feel extraordinarily grateful that the Democratic Party has produced so many extraordinary candidates, each of whom brings a different set of skills and life experiences and background.
Okay, so there is Beto trying to deny his privilege. How dare he deny his privilege? Meanwhile, there's an article over at the New York Times, a news article by Astiad Herndon, in which he contends that Beto O'Rourke's sitting next to his wife is really bad, and also that he's too white. So you can see the attacks are going to be strong on Beto. Again, I don't think Beto survives this politically. I think the chances that the intersectional left rip him down are extraordinarily high, really, really high. So this columnist for the New York Times, this is a news article, not an opinion piece, says, throughout the video, Mr. O'Rourke's wife, this is his launch video, Mr. O'Rourke's wife, Amy, sat quietly by her husband's side, periodically grasping his hand as he outlined his campaign vision. She occasionally smiled and gazed. Mr. O'Rourke, 46, has repeatedly cast his presidential bid as a sign of generational change, but several authors, business leaders, and scholars who focus on gender studies and discrimination said there was nothing new or progressive about the power dynamics projected in the video. So now they're going to rip Beto down because his wife was sitting next to him on a tape and not talking. It gets even better from the New York Times. We'll get to that in just one second. First, let's talk about that timeshare you bought on vacation. I know, you went to Hawaii, you figured, you know what? This will all work out fantastic. I'm just going to buy this timeshare right here. It'll be good. It'll be good. You know, I'll save money on vacation. Every year we'll come back here. And then you realize this was a bad deal. If you are tired of paying for something you are unable to use, if you feel like you were sold a bucket of lies, it's time to get out. Timeshare Exit Team specializes in helping people get out of their timeshare when they haven't been able to sell them, when the resort refuses to take them back. Every year, Timeshare Exit Team successfully exits thousands and thousands of owners. It is a process, but they're with you every step of the way. Timeshare Exit Team is so confident in their exit service, they will get you out of your timeshare or they will give you a complete refund. Text BEN to 797979 to start your exit process today. That is BEN to 797979. Message and data rates may apply. Text BEN to 797979. Text the word BEN there to start your exit process right now. I know the folks over at Timeshare Exit Team, they are good, honest folks, and they will help you get out of your timeshare. And again, either it works or they're going to give you a complete refund. So text Ben to 797979 to get started. Okay, so the New York Times is angry at Beto because his wife sat next to him for an interview. But the best, again, this is not an opinion piece from the New York Times. This is a news piece. Quote, this is not the first time Mr. O'Rourke has been accused of appearing to revel in his advantages as a white male in an increasingly diverse Democratic Party. What does that even mean? This is not the first time he has been accused of appearing to revel in his advantages as a white male. So they're not accusing him of reveling. They're accusing him of appearing to revel, or maybe not even appearing to revel, but being accused of appearing to revel. Okay, that's a chain of logic that simply is unfollowable. The bottom line here is that O'Rourke is being destroyed by a media that wished to tear him down. And does he have it coming? He does, but it is telling that nobody had anything to say about any of this stuff until Beto O'Rourke ran against a bunch of other Democrats for president. When he was running against Ted Cruz, none of this stuff came out. We weren't going to talk about Beto's background. We weren't going to talk about the fact that he's an empty vessel. Then it was all, look how sweaty he is. Look how he rides a skateboard, guys. Look at how he used to play bass guitar. I mean, he's rad. Then he ran against a bunch of intersectional Democrats, and it was, look how white he is. Look how privileged he is. Now, as I recall, Ted Cruz is Hispanic, guys. They could have done the same thing when he was running for Senate in Texas. They did not. I wonder why. I wonder why they did not. Oh, wait, I know why. Of course, we all know why. Because they wanted Beto to win the Senate race, and they don't actually want him to win these presidential primaries. In just a few minutes, we're going to be getting to Professor Andrew Joy. Professor Joy is a researcher on what causes mass shootings, what allows mass shooters to become more common, why they seem to be becoming more common. Professor Joy will join us in just 1 second here on the Ben Shapiro Show. Also, we have to get to AOC, who is again trying to polarize people against one another in the midst of an international crisis with regard to terrorism. It is really frightening. And I want to talk a little bit about the increasing polarization of American politics. There is a poll that came out just this week that is truly disturbing, having to do with how much we dislike each other. This poll shows that something like 20% of Democrats and 20% of Republicans just wish that people of the other party would legitimately disappear. That springs from a lack of common values. It springs from a desire to cram down your values on others. It's really disturbing. Maybe we forgot the principles that we hold in common, and maybe that's why we're so polarized and so angry all the time. Also, as I mentioned, we have to get to Uncle Ben's SJW story time. That is coming up a little bit later on in the show. I also want to update you on Bill de Blasio, who's trying to now blame Amazon pulling out of New York on Jeff Bezos having an affair. All amazing stuff coming up this hour. But coming up in the very near future, Professor Andrew Joy from Western New Mexico University, he will be joining us. He's a researcher on what causes epidemics of mass shooters, what the media can do to cut down on these epidemics of mass shooting, and what we all can do to stop spreading information that makes these sorts of shootings more common. We're going to be getting to all of that momentarily here on The Ben Shapiro Show. We'll be right back in just a minute. You are listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy, it's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep. And you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start on your back taxes. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-312-9970. Our New Start program could stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Don't wait until another tax season ends and another year of penalties and interest are added to your balance. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970. That's 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. Again, that's 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, one of the things that the Daily Wire undertook to do back in February of 2018 following a spate of mass shootings is we decided that we would no longer name the shooters in mass shootings, that we would no longer give publicity to those shooters, that we would no longer give publicity to their political programs because we didn't want to generate copycats. One of the reasons we did that is we looked at some of the research by Professor Andrew Joy from Western New Mexico University. Professor Joy joins us on the line right now. Professor Joy, thanks so much for your time.
No problem.
So why don't we start with this? What sort of attributes do we find are common among mass shooters like the one that we saw in New Zealand just yesterday?
Well, typically when you look at mass shooters, you tend to see that they have these three traits that we call the dark triad. We have narcissism, Machiavellianism, and psychopathy. And narcissism is the one that tends to really drive these people when you look at how they're feeling in society and why they try and lash out at that society.
And when it comes to the narcissistic, you know, the narcissism that they seek, it seems like the internet may have something to do. Do you think the internet has something to do with the narcissism being blown up? I mean, there's been a lot of talk over the last 24 hours, particularly about this particular shooter in New Zealand who is trafficking on kind of alt-right white supremacist message boards like 8chan. Do you think that the prevalence of social media has exacerbated this problem?
Absolutely. I mean, these people, they're looking for something to validate themselves. And when you go online, you can find that echo chamber that supports exactly what you're looking for. You don't have to go out. You don't have to get outside opinions. You get in this little silo, and it builds up exactly what you're looking for. You get that confirmation bias that you think, all right, I am exactly right in what I'm thinking. And then they tend to act on that.
And one of the things that you've talked extensively about is the idea that we shouldn't be naming these shooters. I assume that goes to the narcissism question. What should we be doing in cases like this where the shooter releases some sort of large manifesto, a political manifesto driven toward getting attention? How should the media cover these sorts of things?
Well, I would say the best approach is just to not give them that attention. They're seeking it. They want it. A lot of times they tend to, as you know, they probably tend to commit suicide or go down that hail of gunfire, glorify themselves in that way. But even when they're caught alive, you just ignore them, focus on the victims. Don't let their message get out. If there's something important you have to do there, if there's, for instance, a situation like the Boston Marathon bombing and they're actively looking for these people, then it seems okay to let certain details out. But if the situation's contained, it's probably safer not to give them what they're looking for and just to focus on the healing process, you know, identifying the victims, helping people figure out how they can contribute to, curing the issue rather than saying, hey, this is what this guy was after. Let's talk about him then.
We're speaking with Professor Andrew Joy from Western New Mexico University. Professor Joy, one of the things that happens, you know, this is talk radio, we're in politics. In sort of the political sphere, you see this on a lot of different sides. When there's a flashpoint in politics, people tend to use that flashpoint to generate a narrative. And in this particular case, there are certain political people who may look at the manifesto and say, well, this gives me a jumping off point to make points that I want to make more broadly about ideology or about gun control or about certain political answers. How would you draw the balance between the need to discuss important issues and giving attention to the manifestos or the thoughts of a shooter like this?
I'd say it's a very thin line you have to walk there. There is a conversation that needs to be had about these things. For example, gun control. You know, you want to talk about gun control. You want to see if there's a way that we can solve these issues. You also want to talk about the other side of it with demagoguery, for example. You know, we have a lot of political demagoguery right now, and that has consequences. But at the same time, if you point to all these social ills and you say these are responsible for creating this shooter, you're taking a certain level of responsibility off the fact that this was an individual who is mentally ill. In some respect, there's something abnormal about their development, and you can't just ignore that aspect. If you focus on demonizing one issue or another, you're going to miss the bigger picture. And I think you need to let things sit a little.
Letting things sit a little seems like it makes some sense to me, just because one of the things that seems to happen in the aftermath of all of these things, especially when they are politically motivated, is that you end up accidentally amplifying the message of the person who you're attempting to actually decry. So, for example, in this particular case, you have a white supremacist do something. And so everybody leaps out to decry the white supremacism, which, of course, deserves to be decried and deserves to be ripped into and shredded. But by the same token, you are now giving additional attention to this guy's views in order to do that.
Correct, yeah. So it's that idea of there's no such thing as bad publicity. You're still giving them that soapbox to stand from, and you say, hey, let's dive into his message. That message is still getting out there. He's still getting exactly what he wants. And these people that are going to see him, the people that have these this dark triads, this narcissism, they're going to say, oh, this guy's like me, and they're going to latch onto that. They're not going to look at the public shaming that's going on. They're going to say, this guy feels like I do, and he did something about it, and now look at that. He's victorious. He has reigned supreme over the people that oppressed him or wronged him in some way, and you're going to plant that seed for those mentally ill individuals.
Now, final question, Professor Andrew Joy from Western New Mexico University. How common are these incidents? Are they becoming more common, or is it just that the media coverage of them is more heavy?
I think we are seeing that the trend is going up. I mean, there are certain graphs you can look at that show that these things are becoming more predominant. We are hearing about them more than we once did, but there is no denying that certain aspects of our culture, like the 24-hour news cycle, the access to social media, the fact the internet is accessible from any point in our lives, is feeding the message that these people are getting out, and that is, of course, going to cause these copycats and these like-minded individuals to seek these same avenues of expression.
Well, Professor Joy, thanks so much for joining the Ben Shapiro Show. Really appreciate your time and the work you're doing. We'll do our best to follow your advice here on the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, coming up here on the show, we're going to be talking about partisan hate, why it seems like it is reaching all-time highs, and what we can do about it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Tuesday of the month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. Hi, I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we'll learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Tuesday of the month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
When you need assistance applying for veteran benefits, consider utilizing the Shasta County Veteran Service Office. Our veteran representatives are all military veterans that are highly trained and fully accredited, giving you the best support possible. This is Celestina Traver, your Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. We welcome you to our office at 1855 Shasta Street to see what benefits are awaiting you. Please call us at 225-5616.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a foreign language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Well, we live in a world of very little forgiveness, very little intellectual honesty, and that's why it's kind of nice when there is a story in which intellectual honesty and forgiveness triumph. That story, actually, I know, this is not going to make so many people happy. Many of my listeners are not on the same side of this issue as I am. James Gunn was renamed the Guardians of the Galaxy director 8 months after getting fired for old tweets. As I've said, I said it about Tucker Carlson, I've said it about James Gunn, I've said it about Kevin Hart. Old bad stuff that you've done is not an excuse to destroy your career now, especially when there is no evidence that you still feel the same way about that stuff, especially when you're being taken out of context to destroy you. That's what happened to James Gunn. I was sort of intimately involved in that story because that story actually began with another actor named Mark Duplass coming to the Daily Wire offices. He wanted to interview me about gun control. We spent about an hour and a half. I gave him some advice on how to cover gun control, and as he was leaving, I said to Duplass, don't mention this to any of your friends. Don't mention that you were here because people on the left cannot handle anyone who disagrees with them. Well, he didn't follow my advice. And just a couple of weeks later, he tweeted out that I was a nice person. All hell broke loose. People suggested I was a racist, sexist, bigot, homophobe, and Duplass, not knowing how to handle it, immediately denounced me and deleted his tweet saying that I was a decent human being. Well, somebody came to Duplass's aid. That person was James Gunn. He didn't say Duplass was right. He just said, don't attack Duplass. Duplass is a nice guy. At that point, people started digging up old stuff about James Gunn. Some of the old stuff they dug up was some nasty, old, gross tweets about child molestation. Now, he was in the shock jock arena. He did shock humor for a living. So those tweets were not indicative of him being a pedophile or anything. Disney, in the middle of that controversy, fired him. I said they should not have fired him. Number one, it was old. Number two, it was jokes. Number three, you know, it had nothing to do with anything that Disney was doing, and they knew what they were getting when they hired him in the first place. Now he is about to return. He's returning to direct the third film of Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy franchise. The news comes nearly 8 months after the Walt Disney Company fired Gunn over a series of offensive years-old tweets. This is according to Reason.com. After he was fired, Disney condemned Gunn's past social media posts, which included bad jokes about violence and sexual assault against children. Gunn also apologized, saying he was a different person when he wrote the tweets in question. According to Deadline, Gunn attended several meetings with Walt Disney Studios president Alan Horn. Eventually, Disney decided...